My Satguru, gracious to the suffering ones, shower the grace. Come and take care of me. This is the Bhajan Mere Satguru Din Dayal on page 238. I am a sinner and a grave wicked one. Make me sit at your feet. The sins of the world are always surrounding Satguruji. Save me. The five enemies always are after me. Satguruji, make me free. The current of the mind moves like a chariot. Satguruji, come and stop it. I am stuck in the ocean of illusions. Satguruji, take me across. May my love remain attached to your feet. Take me out of this world. I am a lost traveler. Showering grace, call me. Ajab says, oh man, do the meditation and make him shower grace on you. My Satguru, gracious to the suffering ones, shower the grace. Come and take care of me. Bhajan of Sanchi on page 238.
Mere Satguru Din Dayal Daya Karam Mujhe ko aane sambhalo ji Mere Satguru Din Dayal Daya Karam Mujhe ko aane sambhalo ji Main paapi ghor durachari Kade mo mein mujhe betalo ji Main paapi ghor durachari Kade mo mein mujhe betalo ji Mere Satguru Din Dayal Daya Karam Mujhe ko aane sambhalo ji Mere Satguru Din Dayal Daya Karam Ko aane sambhalo ji Duniya ke paap sada gere Satguru ji mujhe bachalo ji Duniya ke paap sada gere Satguru ji mujhe bachalo ji Mere Satguru Din Dayal Daya Karam Mujhe ko aane sambhalo ji Mere Satguru Din Dayal Daya Karam Mujhe ko aane sambhalo ji Pancho dushman sada hai piche Satguru ji mujhe churalo ji Pancho dushman sada hai piche Satguru ji mujhe churalo ji Mere Satguru Din Dayal Daya Karam Mujhe ko aane Sambalo ji. Mere sate guru dina deyal deya kar. Mujhe ko ana sambalo ji. Man ka vege chale raat aisa. Satguru ji aane rukalo ji. Man ka vege chale raat aisa. Satguru ji aane rukalo ji. Mere sate guru din deyal deya karam. Mujhe ko aane sambalo ji. Mere sate guru din deyal deya karam. Mujhe ko aane sambalo ji. Bave sa gaade me fansa hua. Satguru ji pade lagalo ji. Bave sa gaade me fansa hua. Satguru ji pade lagalo ji. Mere sate guru din deyal deya karam. Mujhe ko aane sambalo ji. Mere sate guru din deyal deya karam. Mujhe ko aane sambalo ji. Charano mein tumhare neha rahe. Duniya se mujhe nikalo ji. Charano mein tumhare neha rahe. Duniya se mujhe nikalo ji. Mere sate guru din deyal deya karam. Mujhe ko aane sambalo ji. Mere sate guru din deyal deya karam. Mujhe ko aane sambalo ji. Main bula baat kara hi huna. Mujhe karke deya bula lo ji. Main bula baat kara hi huna. Mujhe karke deya bula lo ji. Mere sate guru din deyal deya karam. Mujhe ko aane sambalo ji. Mere sate guru din deyal deya karam. Mujhe ko aane sambalo ji. Kahe ajaye bebajan kaad banda. Apne par deya kara lo ji. कहे आ जाए बाबा जान कार बंद आपने पर दया करा लो जी मेरे साथ गुरु जी ने दया दया कर मुझे को आने संभालो जी मेरे साथ गुरु दीन दया दया कर मुझे को आने संभालो जी
My Satguru, gracious to the suffering ones, shower the grace, come and take care of me. Our next bhajan is on page 115, Satguru Sona Mera. Oh, friends, my beautiful Satguru is Kripal. He is merciful on the poor. I was separated for so many births and was searching for the dearly beloved. May I meet the perfect master so that I may go across. Now I have got the husband, the emperor, who takes care of me. Oh, friends, wandering from door to door, I became very crazy. I did not get any knower of the heart. No one heard my plea. Oh, friends, now I have got my beloved, the support of my heart, the treasure of Shabad. I did the practices of water, performing the austerities, and bathed in the places of pilgrimage. I worshipped in the temples and holy places, but no one shared the pain. Oh, friends, my beloved has come and has put me on the path and makes me see him. Listen, O beloved Kripal, make everyone have the beautiful darshan. The life of a Jeb is full of bad qualities. Take him across. Oh, friends, the true saint is come. My husband has come, and he loves me. Oh, friends, my beautiful Satguru is Kripal. He is merciful on the poor. Bhajan of Sanchi on page 115.
Satguru sona mera he kirpal niseyo Dina dayal niseyo Satguru sona mera he kirpal niseyo Dina dayal niseyo Kahi janma to vicharisi me labdi pritam pyara Satguru pura mil jaye menu ho jaye para utara Kahi janma to vicharisi me labdi pritam pyara Satguru pura mil jaye menu ho jaye para utara ni mil gaya mahi mera nishena shahi mera ni mil gaya mahi mera nishena shahi mera Kare sambal niseyo, dina deyal niseyo, Satguru sona mera, he kirpal niseyo, dina deyal niseyo, Seyo ni me dar dar firke, Dadi pagal hoi, Dilda jani koi na milia, na suni arjoi. Seyo ni me dar dar firke, dadi pagal hoi. Dilda jani koi na milia, na suni arjoi ni milki apyara mera ni dili sahara mera ni milki apyara mera ni dili sahara mera shabda bandar ni seyo Dina Dayal Niseyo Satguru Sona Mera He Kirpal Niseyo Dina Dayal Niseyo Jaladari Oradune Tapke Tata Tiratanaya Shivale te mandir puje kise na tu kavandaya jaladare yoradune tapke tata tiratanaya Shivale te mandir puje Kise na tu kavandaya ni mera mahi aya ni me nurasete paya ni mera mahi aya ni me nurasete paya dave di dar ni seyo Dina Dayal Niseyo Satguru Sona Mera He Kirpal Niseyo Dina Dayal Niseyo Sona Darsha Dikavo Sabnu Suna Kirpal Piyare Eva bari achai bari jindari lavo parakinare. Sona darsha dikavo sabanu sunakirpal piyare. Eva bari achai bari jindari Lavo parakinare nisacha santa aya nimera kanta aya nisacha santa aya nimera kanta aya kare piyar niseyo Dina Dayal Niseyo Satguru Sona Mera He Kirpal Niseyo Dina Dayal Niseyo
Oh friends, my beautiful Satguru is Kripal. He is merciful on the poor. Well, we have come to the end of a grace-filled, week-long meditation retreat. This afternoon, immediately after lunch, we will be clearing bedding and supplies from the school buildings that were used as dorm spaces and moving the picnic tables and serving counters from under the langar tent. Dear ones who can help with this seva are welcome to stay for lunch and lend a hand. And we would like to express our heartfelt thanks to all the sevadars who helped make this retreat run smoothly. We are very grateful for the help from our local Sangat, who baked, cooked, washed lettuce, and cleaned, to the ashramites who organized and oversaw the meals, satsangs, including the teen and children satsangs, guest preparations, fire protocol, and many other essential jobs. And to our guests, who helped and chipped in with enthusiasm whenever an opportunity arose. Your seva, both large and small, was greatly appreciated. Thank you for helping to make this retreat possible. And a reminder, 6 weeks from now, there will be a 2-day meditation retreat celebrating Master Kripal Singh's life. The retreat will be all day Friday and Saturday, August 17th and 18th. And today I want to read a kind of a treatise that I put together based on and including many, many quotes from Kripal, called The Mission of Kripal, which is part of my new book, page 259, actually. And in that book, the narrative occurs in the narrative just before Judith and I went to India the first time to attend the Third World Religions Conference. And of course, that conference was held under the auspices of the World Fellowship of Religions, of which Master Kripal was president. And I wanted to try to put together how his activities as president of the World Fellowship of Religions and other things, how they fit into the path as a whole that he taught, and how what it says about his priorities and what it may mean in relation to the way in which we live our life. Anyway, as events unfolded, his resignation as president of the WFR, the founding of Manav Kendra, and the Great World Conference on Unity of Man in 1974, it became clear that that which led Kripal to undertake this work, he had been elected president of the World Fellowship of Religions when it began at the first World Religions Conference in Delhi in 1957. The second conference, at which he also presided, was held in Calcutta in 1960, was basic to his understanding of his mission as a whole, and was, in fact, of the utmost importance to him. As to what extent exactly this understanding of his mission was, let us go back to the evening of January 24th, 1964, and consider what, among other things, the Master said on that evening. Quote, "God is love, and we are also love. For that reason, love is innate in everyone, in souls, in every soul. You will find that the word man is called in Urdu insan. Insan is one who is love personified. He must be overflowing with love and radiating love for all. That is but natural." That, according to Kripal Singh, is what a man really is, one who is love personified. When he talks about man-making, as he does very often, this is what he means, enabling human beings, men and women, and I have a footnote here, Kripal Singh used the English word man to mean human with no implication whatever of gender bias. For him, man translated insan, as in the title of one of his earliest writings, "O insan apne apko jaan," Oh, you who are love personified, why don't you know your own self? Translated into English as man know thyself. And I was often present when he, speaking to women or about women, referred to them as men. He did not, the term meant for him was absolutely gender free. Enabling human beings, men and women, to come face to face with the deepest part of their own selves and recognize that that deepest part is indeed love, and to then live in such a way as to reflect that in all its implications. Both aspects of this, the journey within to the place where we can see that we are indeed love personified, and the journey without to the world around us with all its imperfect human beings who are nonetheless children of God and who need our love and our recognition of them as our brothers and sisters, were present in his mission from the beginning, as I hope this book will show. Those who emphasize the journey within and show us how to travel it are called saints or mystics. Those who emphasize the journey without and show us how to travel that are called prophets. But Kripal Singh was both. He was a prophet whose message was grounded in his own knowledge of the reality of human nature and its reflection of the nature of God. His mysticism was responsible for and led directly to his concept of the spiritual revolution, which, he says, begins with right understanding. We are living in him, have our being in him. He is in us, outside us, above us, below us. Like fish in water, we have our existence in him. That is right understanding. And further, God made man with equal privileges, all born the same way, no high, no low. All have got the same outer concessions, eyes, ears, etc., and all have the same inner concession. We are kept in the body by some higher power, which is the same for all. So this is right understanding, that we have this thing, God resides in every heart, and that all is holy where devotion kneels. All are born with the same privileges from God. No high, no low, no east, no west. And this will result in right thoughts. It is said, of course, that east is east and west is west, and never the twain shall meet. But there is no east and no west. The whole creation is the house of our Father. All countries are so many rooms in that house. It is we who made these things on account of our want of right understanding. So this is one thing. If you have this understanding, what will be the result? Your whole angle of vision will be changed. You will see that we are all children of God, the same Father. The true fatherhood of God and brotherhood of man will be cemented. So this is what I mean by spiritual revolution, from godlessness. This was said by Kripal toward the end of his life. 20 years earlier, he had expressed it this way. Love, then, is the only true religion. There is just one creative principle for the entire creation. All are born of the light of God, and the same light shines forth in all. And as such, none of his creatures can be dubbed as evil. Thomas A. Kempis, in The Imitation of Christ, writes, "From one word proceeds all things, and all things tell of him." And earlier still, he wrote this, "In worldly matters, we do seek the help of persons who are more intelligent and capable than we are. We also offer prayers for aid to God, the greatest power conceivable. And that, no doubt, is a correct approach to the difficult and baffling problems which confront us every day in the course of our lives. But to regard that omnipotent power as something separate and apart from us, and to appeal to him as to an outside benefactor, is assuredly a sorrowful mistake which is made by us. For he is the very soul of our soul, and is ever working within and without us, and we in fact live and have our very being in him. There is a reason, in other words, why loving our neighbors as ourselves is like unto loving God with all our heart and soul. If we go deep enough within, we see that our neighbor and our enemy is ourself, and that our inmost self is indeed the reflection of God. Jesus gave eloquent support of this in his famous story of the Last Judgment. Then the king will say to those on his right hand, "Come, you whom my Father has blessed, take as your heritage the kingdom prepared for you since the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you made me welcome. Lacking clothes, and you clothed me. Sick, and you visited me. In prison, and you came to see me." And the upright will say to him in reply, "Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? When did we see you a stranger and make you welcome, lacking clothes and clothe you? When did we find you sick or in prison and go to see you?" And the king will answer, "In truth I tell you, insofar as you did it to one of the least of these brothers of mine, you did it to me." And we have seen above, actually on January 27th, 1964, that Kripal used to tell the following story. It is spoken of one bhakta, a lover of God, that he prayed to God, "Will you, O God, come to my house?" "All right," he promised, "I will come today. Be ready." So he made great arrangements. He set beds of flowers, cleaned his house, cleared away all filth, made his place very neat and clean, and then he waited at the door outside. From morn till night he was sitting there, and nobody came. God did not come. Perhaps he was expecting God to come wearing a very precious robe with great pomp and show. It so happened that one old man passed by on the road and asked him, "Oh, dear friend, I am hungry. Will you give me a loaf of bread?" He did not care for him. At night, when he prayed again, he said, "Oh, God, you promised you would come to me, but you never turned up." "Oh, I did come, but you did not care for me. I was in the form of that old man." In everyone he is. If we have developed in that way, then serve all. You are nearer to God. God is within you. Lord Krishna said, "Who is dear to me? The one who sees me in all and all in me. He is the dearest to me." All masters say that. This is what is meant by selfless service. And this in turn leads to the extraordinary comment he gave in answer to a question during his third world tour in 1972. Actually, right here in this hall, this question was given and the answer. Question: "I don't have a yearning to go home. I came on the path because I wanted to be a better human being, and I knew you could help. I still don't have the yearning to go home. I just want to be a better human being. What is the best way to develop?" And the master said, "That's all right. Man is one, as I submitted, who is of use to others. So you obey God's order. Who serves my humanity, he serves me. That's the first step. That's a good idea." You see, there is a parable in the Upanishads. It says that there was one man who was very fond of helping others, selfless service. He was so fond of serving others because he saw that God into expression power in the human body. Christ said that if we do not love our brother whom we see, how can we love that whom we don't see? So human body is the expression of that. He also resides in the human body, and those whose yogic eye is developed, they see God in the human body. Outward temples are made in the model of man. They put symbols of light and sound in there. In churches, in temples, in mosques, the same symbols are there. Which is the best of all? The human body in which these symbols are manifest is the best of all of them. So only he will serve mankind who sees God in them. The more devoted he is, the more he will serve others. The parable says that that man who is very fond of serving others, naturally he was a man, Insan, because he was considered to be of use to others. Love knows service and sacrifice, you see. And he prayed to God, and God was very pleased with him and asked him, "Well, will you come back home? I am replying to your question." He said, "Lord, I want to serve others. If I come to you, that would be no addition to you. I am merely a drop of the ocean of your consciousness. So give me more time to serve others." "That's all right. That's a good idea." On January 19th, 1964, Kripal described perfectly how what Erik Erikson calls pseudo-speciation, the process by which we decide that other human beings who are different from us are not really human beings at all, and therefore anything goes, a process carried to its extreme by Hitler, but present in most of us to some degree, is formed. We do not know who we are. A little child knows better than we. If you ask him who he is, he opens his eyes, opens his mouth. He feels it somewhere in here. As he grows older in years and you ask him, he says, "I am Mr. Such and Such." Further, he says, "I am a Christian, I am a Hindu, I am a Muslim." Again, further, he says, "I am American, I am French, I am German, I am Indian." Who is he? He is a conscious being. That we have forgotten. We go so far away from our own selves that we forget our own selves. We simply identify ourselves as belonging to one religion or the other, or one country or the other. There have been religious wars and patriotic wars in which thousands and millions were killed and are being killed. When masters come, they give us teachings from the universal level. They consider all to be children of God, brothers and sisters in God, because all are maintained and controlled by the higher power. This is the true state of affairs we are in. And in October 1967, he elaborated on it in this way. God is love. Our soul is of the same essence as that of God. So love is innate in us and must have somebody to love. We are conscious entities, and we have to make our beloved an all-conscious God. But we are attached to our children, our families, our own society, religion, and country. There are some people who are Nero-like. When Rome was burning, Nero fiddled. In India, too, we had a king like that. His name was Muhammad Shah Ramila. The whole town of Delhi was on fire, and the people sent in a petition to save them. He was taking wine at the time and was intoxicated. "All right," he said, "put this petition into the cup of wine." Such like people are everywhere. Their type is the lowest class. They are congealed with their own selves. If your love is for your families only, then you will think only of their good. If each man has the attitude that his children must be fed properly, but others may go hungry, there will be a clash between family and family. The police stations are full of such like reports. Their attitude is good for their own families, of course, but they will clash with others. If our love is for our own society or country, or excuse me, if our love is for our own society or for the religion to which we belong, naturally we will love the men of our own society and religion more than anybody else. In family strife, some people are hurt, their heads are broken. If we have love for our own community or religion only, what is the result? We had a clear show, a demonstration, I would say, when Pakistan was formed. More than 1,200,000 people were killed on both sides because they loved their own outer forms of religion. So that results in the loss of thousands of lives. If our love expands, we love our own country. We think that a dog of our own country is better than a man of another country. The result is that we fight, and millions of people are killed. So this expansion of love, of the love of self, of the family, of the society and country, is fraught with difficulties and dangers. The cost to life is more and more. Unless the love of our soul expands to love an all-conscious, an all-pervading God, there can be no peace. Because he saw human beings from that angle of vision, he took a very dim view of the whole complex of nationalism, borders, and immigration. Actually, what we say we should do, we should live, then it's all right. They talk of peace, but are spending more and more on genocide each day. If they talk of peace, then let them also have less armaments. More than half of the income of a country is spent on that, even more than half. And if this was spent for the good of the people, then we are all brothers. Each country should advance as much as possible and be a source of help to others. You strengthen yourself and let others also have strength. The only thing is we say something and then do something else. That's the trouble. If the governments really want peace, then where's the trouble? They should avoid encroaching on the rights of others, live and let others live, make their country so advanced and peace-giving that everybody else would like to come there. Now there are restrictions. You cannot go out from one country into another without a visa. You cannot leave a country without a passport. So these are strongholds, is it not so? We go around like prisoners. When I returned from the 1963 tour, the airplane was not in order. We had to stay in Cairo, so we were restrained. All right, leave all your baggage, all your passports. If we had to go to the bank, there were two soldiers with bayonets this side and two that side to go to the bank. This is our fate. Just think. There are so many governments. Each man should keep his country in a blooming state, let anybody come in freely and enjoy it, and then help others bring up their governments in the same blooming state. That should be the attitude. And this is from The Light of Kripal, but I personally heard Master make very similar comments on a number of occasions. Of course, it was not only human beings he saw that way. The right understanding and angle of vision that enabled him to see all as God's children actually extended to all forms of life, and he extended to animals, birds, fish, and the entire creation the same nonviolence and love that he had for humans, leading to his concept of land service and his advocacy and practice of vegetarianism, which he characterized as the least pain-producing diet. He remarked in 1955, "It is said, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Are these animals not your neighbors?" He was, however, very aware of the pseudo-speciation and holier-than-thou attitudes this can also lead to, and addressed that roundly. It is very necessary to distinguish clearly the ends from the means. To lay too much stress on the means is likely to make us forget our objective and to become fossilized. Once we know, for example, that abstinence from all kinds of meat diet and spirituous liquors helps us on the spiritual path, it is enough that we avoid them. But to take it as an end in itself is to miss the point. Offending others because they eat meat is worse than meat eating itself. Hate the sin, but love the sinner. Live and let others live. Welcome those are who choose to come on the way. But we have no right to hate or offend others because they eat meat. Vegetarian diet is essentially a helping factor for those who would prefer to follow the teachings of the Master. Hafiz, a great Muslim saint, says, "Drink wine, burn the holy scriptures, and put Kaaba, the house of God, on fire. You may do all this, but never offend or molest anybody." If you are really anxious to meet God, you should not offend or molest the heart of anybody, which is the dwelling house of God. It is certainly true that Kripal's main thrust throughout his life was what is called spiritual growth, or the finding of God by the seeker, through the system of meditation we have already explored called Shabda Yoga. And he very carefully instructed more than 100,000 seekers from all over the world and from all kinds of backgrounds in that practice. Yet as his words demonstrate clearly, he did not differentiate between the inner or mystical and the outer or prophetic. He saw them as two sides of the same coin and of equal importance. Further, while it is true that the inner realization of the oneness and universality of God, that it is the inner realization of the oneness and universality of God that makes right understanding possible, the fact is that recognizing and living up to that oneness, even before we have fully realized it, is an enormous helping factor on the spiritual path. As Kripal has said, selfless service helps a good deal in your progress on the spiritual way. That plus self-introspection both go to give you very great progress within on your spiritual way. And as kind of an addenda to that, I just want to read a very brief selection from his message of love, which is also included, this particular section of it is also included in my new book. And he uses the Hafiz quote again here, somewhat differently, translates it a little differently in this version. He says, "Consider the performances of countless austerities and penances, each followed by acts of charity, the observance of innumerable fasts, each attended with thousands of prayers, and keeping of sleepless vigils for myriads of nights, will not be of any avail to thee if thou injurest the feelings of a single individual." This was given out by a great saint named Maghribi Sahib. Again, Hafiz says, "Drink wine to your heart's content, burn down the holy Quran, which everyone considers a sin, and consign to the flames even the sacred Kaaba, if you will, but injure not the feelings of any human being. The things described are considered grave sins, but Hafiz says that even committing these sins is far better than injuring the feelings of a human being." Again, Sheikh Saadi proclaims, "Unless you love God's creation, you cannot have God's grace, for those who serve his creation serve him the most." And I do you know, as when we're on the path, we tend to see things, you know, from our own ego's point of view. We can't help that. But it has struck me as I've gone through life and tried to understand the teachings of the Masters as much as I could, which God knows is not very much, it does seem that it is extremely easy to miss the point on all this. that we can get so involved with matters of, you know, all sorts of things and ignore the point that injuring the feelings of others is worse than any of them. You know, hating others because they eat meat is worse than eating meat. Burning up the scriptures, burning down the holy temple, drinking wine, injuring the feelings of a human being, one human being, is worse than any of them. I mean, this it's like this whole concept, first of all, of the unity of man, second of all, of the fact that God is love and our essential nature is also love. All of this comes down to that one focal point. When we are dealing with a brother or sister, if we hurt their feelings, if we hurt them, no matter what we are trying to accomplish, no matter what we think we have to accomplish that requires that, is useless. Because it seems to us when we're doing something and somebody gets in our way, one way or another and they're not doing what we want and somehow or other we hurt them, that seems to us to be not necessarily irrelevant. We may be aware that we have hurt them, but collateral damage, you know, it's not really what counts. Only Master says it is what counts. It is the only thing that counts when you come right down to it. That's why all of the commandments, Jesus said and Kripal has confirmed over and over again, are summed up with two. We love God with all our heart, soul, and strength, and we love our neighbor as ourselves. Everything else is connected with that. Everything else follows from that. If that is the way we are approaching life, then these things will become very obvious to us. And this is something that I've struggled with all my life. I cannot say that I have learned it, but I see very clearly this is what Master is calling us toward. This is what his priorities are, and this is what counts. And of course, this is exactly the way the world is not heading at the present time, in which all of the things that Master lays such emphasis on that we have just heard about, it seems like everybody in the world is racing with the utmost speed in the exact opposite direction, including the governments, including people. It's like suddenly everything is missing the point and putting our attention in the wrong place. So it's vitally important that those of us who love the Master do not forget this, that we make this the bedrock of our practice of the path. It is so much more important than most of the things we put our attention onto. You know? It is so important not to hurt the feelings of a single individual. Think about it. This is what counts. This is why Sanchi said in the interview he read during the week at the morning satsang, you know, that the thing which is most deadly when it comes to meditation is criticism of others. It's the same concept. Why he emphasized so much throughout his life not to judge others. You know, this is because hurting other people proceeds from our criticizing and judging them. It's in our minds. They pick it up from our thoughts. But then because it's in our minds and our hearts, we express it. So that's what will prevent us more than anything else in the world. Sanchi has said it. Kripal has said it. From making progress. And this is what the Masters work so hard to make reality. So I want to conclude today by reading a few paragraphs of Kripal's great, great, great talk that he gave at that third World Religions Conference, published in various places under the title The Essence of Religion. He says, he began the talk by saying, "My own self in the form of ladies and gentlemen," and then little further on, he says, all the religions agree that life, light, and love are the three phases of the supreme source of all that exists. These essential attributes of the divinity that is one, though designated differently by the prophets and peoples of the world, are also wrought in the very pattern of every sentient being. It is in this vast ocean of love, light, and life that we live, have our very being, and move about. And yet, strange as it may seem, like the proverbial fish in water, we do not know this truth and much less practice it in our daily life. And hence the endless fear, helplessness, and misery that we see around us in the world, in spite of all our laudable efforts and sincere strivings to get rid of them. Love is the only touchstone wherewith we can measure our understanding of the twin principles of life and light in us, and how far we have traveled on the path of self-knowledge and God-knowledge. God is love. The soul in man is a spark of that love. And love, again, is the link between God and man on the one hand and man and God's creation on the other. It is therefore said, he that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. Similarly, Guru Gobind Singh says, verily I say unto thee that he whose heart is bubbling over with love, he alone shall find God. Love, in a nutshell, is the fulfillment of the law of life and light. All the prophets, all the religions, and all the scriptures hang on two commandments. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Questioned as to our attitude toward our enemies, Christ said, love thine enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, pray for them that despitefully use you and persecute you, that ye may be the children of your Father in heaven. Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father in heaven is perfect. With the yardstick of love, the very essence of God's character with us, let us probe our hearts. Is our life an efflorescence of God's love? Are we ready to serve one another with love? Do we keep our hearts open to the healthy influences coming from outside? Are we patient and tolerant toward those who differ from us? Are our minds coextensive with the creation of God and ready to embrace the totality of his being? Do we bleed inwardly at the sight of the downtrodden and the depressed? Do we pray for the sick and suffering humanity? If we do not do any of these things, we are yet far removed from God and from religion, no matter how loud we may be in our talk, and pious in our platitudes and pompous in our proclamations. With all our inner craving for peace, we have failed and failed hopelessly to serve the cause of God's peace on earth. Ends and means are interlocked and cannot be separated from each other. We cannot have peace so long as we try to achieve it with warlike means and with the weapons of destruction and extinction. With the germs of hatred in our hearts, racial and color bars rankling within us, thoughts of political domination and economic exploitation surging in our bloodstream, we are working for wrecking the social structure which we have so strenuously built, and not for peace, unless it be peace of the grave, but certainly not for a living peace born of mutual love and respect, trust and concord, that may go to ameliorate mankind and transform this earth into a paradise for which we so fervently pray and preach from pulpits and platforms, and yet as we proceed, it recedes away into the distant horizon. Where then lies the remedy? Is the disease past all cure? No, it is not so. Life and light of God are still there to help us and guide us in the wilderness. We see this wilderness around us because we are bewildered in the heart of our hearts and do not see things in their proper perspective. This vast outer world is nothing but a reflex of our own little world within us. The seeds of discord and disharmony in the soil of our mind bear fruit in and around us and do so in abundance. We are what we think and see the world with the smoke-colored glasses that we choose to put on. It is a proof positive of one thing only, that we have so far not known the life and light of God, and much less realized God in man. We are off-center in the game of life. We are playing it at the circumference only, and never have a dip in the deepest waters of life at the center. This is why we constantly find ourselves caught in the vortex of the swirling waters on the surface. The life at the circumference of our being is, in fact, not different from the life at the center of our being. The two are, in fact, not unidentical, yet when one is divorced from the other, they look dissimilar. Hence the strange paradox. The physical life, though a manifestation of God, is full of toil and turmoil, storm and stress, dissipation and disruption. In our enthusiasm and zest for outer life on the plane of the senses, we have strayed too far away from our center. Nay, we have altogether lost sight of it. And worse still, have cut the very moorings of our bark, and no wonder then we find ourselves tossing helplessly on the sea of life. Rudderless and without a compass to guide our course, we are unwittingly a prey to chance winds and waters, and cannot see the shoals, the sandbanks, and the submerged rocks with which our way is strewn. In this frightful plight, we are drifting along the onrushing current of life, where we know not. This world, after all, is not and cannot be so bad as we take it to be. It is a manifestation of the life principle of the Creator and is being sustained by His light. His love is at the bottom of all this. The world with its various religions is made for us, and we are to benefit from them. One cannot learn swimming on dry land. All that we have to do is to correctly learn and understand the basic live truths as are embodied in our scriptures and practice them carefully under the guidance of some theocentric saint. These scriptures came into being by God-inspired prophets, and as such, some God-intoxicated person or a God-man can give us a proper interpretation of them, initiate us into their right import by reconciling the seeming discrepancies in thought, and finally help us inwardly on the God path. Without such a practical guidance, both without and within, we are trapped in the magic spell of forms and minds and cannot possibly reach at the esoteric truths lying under a mass of verbiage of the bygone ages and now solidified into fossils with the lapse of time, into institutionalized forms, formulae and formularies of the ruling class. And I'll just read the last few paragraphs. This is the one truth I learned in my life, both in theory and practice, from my master Baba Sawan Singh Ji Maharaj. And if today placed it before you, as I have already been doing before the peoples in the West and East during my extensive tours all over, and have on experience found it of ready acceptance everywhere as a current coin, for it is the sole panacea for all the ills of the world, as well as ills of the flesh, to which man is a natural heir through the working of the inexorable law of action and reaction. Ye shall reap as ye shall sow. All of our religions are, after all, an expression of the inner urge felt by man from time to time to find a way out of the discord without into the halcyon calm of the soul within. The light shineth in the darkness, and the darkness comprehendeth it not. But we are so constituted by nature that we feel restless until we find a rest in the causeless cause. If we live up to our scriptures and realize the light and life of God within us, then surely as day follows the night, love would reign supreme in the universe, and we will see nothing but the unseen hand of God working everywhere. We must then sit together as members of the one great family of man, so that we may understand each other. We are, above everything else, one. From the level of God as our Father, from the level of man as his children, and from the level of worshippers of the same truth or power of God called by so many names. In this august assembly of the spiritually awakened, we can learn the great truth of oneness of life vibrating in the universe. If we do this, then surely this world with so many forms and colors will appear a veritable handiwork of God, and we shall verily perceive the same life impulse and living all of us, as his own dear children embedded in him, like so many roses in his rose bed. Let us join together in sweet remembrance of God, and pray to him for the well-being of the world, in this hour of imminent danger of annihilation that stares us in the face. May God, in his infinite mercy, save us all, whether we deserve it or not.
ਕਬੀਰ ਸਾਹਿਬ ਦੀ ਮਾਤਾ ਕਹਿਣ ਲੱਗੀ ਕਿ ਬੇਟਾ ਤੂੰ ਦਿਨ ਰਾਤ ਭਗਤੀ ਚ ਲੱਗਿਆ ਰਹਿੰਦਾ ਹੈ, ਤੂੰ ਤਾਣੇ ਦਾ ਜ਼ਿਆਦਾ ਕੰਮ ਨਹੀਂ ਕਰਦਾ ਗਾ। ਉਹ ਕਹਿਣ ਲੱਗਿਆ, ਮਾਤਾ ਮੈਂ ਕੀ ਦੱਸਾਂ, ਜਦ ਮੈਂ ਉਹ ਨਲੀ ਉਹਦੇ ਵਿੱਚ ਤਾਗਾ ਪਾਉਣਾ ਹੈ ਕਿਉਂਕਿ ਉਸ ਨੂੰ ਥੁੱਕ ਲਾਉਣਾ ਪੈਂਦਾ ਹੈ, ਅੱਜ ਕੱਲ੍ਹ ਤਾਂ ਮੋਮ ਵਗੈਰਾ ਹੈ, ਤੋ ਥੋੜਾ ਜਿਹਾ ਅੱਗੋਂ ਉਕਲੜਾ ਹੋਵੇ ਤਦੀ ਗਾਹਾਂ ਜਾ ਸਕਦਾ। ਕਹਿਣ ਲੱਗਿਆ, ਜਬ ਲਗ ਤਾਗਾ ਬਾਹੋ ਬੇਹੀ ਤਬ ਲਗ ਵਿਸਰੇ ਰਾਮ ਸੁਨੇਹੀ। ਕਹਿਣ ਲੱਗਿਆ, ਮੇਰੇ ਸਿਮਰਨ ਚ ਉਦੋਂ ਫਰਕ ਪੈ ਜਾਂਦਾ, ਹੁਣ ਉਹ ਇੱਕ ਸਕਿੰਟ ਤੋਂ ਵੀ ਕਮ ਟਾਈਮ ਲੱਗਦਾ ਹੈ।
ਵੰਸ ਕਬੀਰ ਸਾਹਿਬ ਮਦਰ ਟੋਲਡ ਹਿਮ ਦੈਟ ਯੂ ਆਲਵੇਸ ਗੋ ਆਨ ਡੂਇੰਗ ਦ ਡਿਵੋਸ਼ਨ ਆਫ ਗੋਡ ਐਂਡ ਯੂ ਡੂ ਨਾਟ ਵਰਕ ਇਨਫ ਆਨ ਦ ਲੂਮ ਵੇਅਰ ਯੂ ਵਰਕ। ਸੋ ਕਬੀਰ ਸਾਹਿਬ ਸੈਡ ਦੈਟ ਮਦਰ ਵਾਟ ਕੈਨ ਆਈ ਟੈਲ ਯੂ ਅਬਾਊਟ ਦ ਵਰਕ ਐਂਡ ਦ ਰਿਮੈਂਬਰੈਂਸ ਆਫ ਲਾਰਡ। You know that when I have to put the thread into the needle, I have to put that in my mouth to straight it out, and I have to stop doing the simran at that time, and even that is bothering me, that why I have to do that and why do I forget the simran even for that short period of time.
Guru Nanak Dev Ji Maharaj kehnde hai, ek khin visre swami jaanu bars 50 sa. ਉਹ ਕਹਿੰਦਾ ਇੱਕ ਸੈਕਿੰਡ ਜਿੰਨਾ ਵੀ ਮੈਂ ਜੇਕਰ ਵਿਸਰ ਜਾਂਦਾ ਤਾਂ 50 ਵਰਿਆਂ ਜਿੰਨਾ ਸਾਡਾ ਬਤ ਪੈ ਜਾਂਦੀ ਹੈ।
ਗੁਰੂ ਨਾਨਕ ਦੇਵ ਜੀ ਮਹਾਰਾਜ ਸੇ ਦੈਟ ਓ ਲਾਰਡ ਇਫ ਆਈ ਫੋਰਗੇਟ ਯੂ ਈਵਨ ਫਾਰ ਅ ਮੋਮੈਂਟ ਈਵਨ ਫਾਰ ਅ ਸੈਕਿੰਡ ਆਈ ਫੀਲ ਦੈਟ ਦ ਗੈਪ ਆਫ 50 ਈਅਰਸ ਹੈਜ਼ ਬੀਨ ਕ੍ਰੀਏਟਿਡ ਬਿਟਵੀਨ ਯੂ ਐਂਡ ਮੀ।
ਤੋ ਗੁਰੂ ਅਰਜਨ ਦੇਵ ਜੀ ਮਹਾਰਾਜ ਕਹਿੰਦੇ ਹੈ, ਏਕ ਘੜੀ ਨਾ ਮਿਲਤੇ ਤੇ ਕਲ ਯੁਗ ਹੋਤਾ। ਉਹਨਾਂ ਨੇ ਏਦੋ ਵੀ ਲੰਬਾ ਇਹ ਵਿਛੋੜਾ ਬਿਆਨ ਕੀਤਾ, ਜੋਸਫ ਦੇ ਜਾਂ ਸ਼ਸਤਰਾਂ ਦੇ ਅੰਦਰ ਕਲਯੁਗ ਦੀ ਉਮਰ 32,04,000 ਦੀ ਲਿਖੀ ਹੋਈ ਹੈ। ਕਹਿੰਦਾ ਇਤਨਾ ਲੰਮਾ ਵਿਛੋੜਾ ਪੈਂਦਾ ਹੈ।
ਗੁਰੂ ਅਰਜਨ ਦੇਵ ਜੀ ਮਹਾਰਾਜ ਇਵਨ ਡਿਸਕ੍ਰਾਈਬ ਦੈਟ ਪੀਰੀਅਡ ਆਫ ਸੈਪਰੇਸ਼ਨ as Kali Yuga or one whole age. In the Shastras it is written that the age of Kali Yuga is 32 lakhs and 4,000. So Guru Arjan Dev Ji Maharaj says that if I forget you even for a moment, it feels like one whole age has passed.
So is vaste Kabir Sahib kende hai ke zaban de utte kise time simran na chutte aur dona akhan de darmiyan guru da swarup sada hi manmohni surat akhan de agge rahe.
So Kabir Sahib says that the simran should not stop from your tongue even for a moment, and always at your eye center the beautiful, enchanting, attractive form of the master should remain.
Guru ka naam dhyan na chute pargat na gohrave kurm sutan ko tarat hai unche aap udar ko tave nis din surat rahe andan par pal bhar na bisrave.
Kabir sahib badi achhi kachhu jo pani da jeev hai ਉਹ ਅੰਡੇ ਆਪਣੇ ਉੱਚੀ ਜਗ੍ਹਾ ਬਾਹਰ ਖੁਸ਼ਕੀ ਦੇ ਵਿੱਚ ਜਾ ਕੇ ਦਿੰਦਾ ਹੈ ਔਰ ਆਪ ਉਹਦੀ ਖੁਰਾਕ ਜੋ ਹੈ ਉਹ ਪਾਣੀ ਅੰਦਰ ਹੈ ਉਹ ਆਪਦੇ ਅੰਡਿਆਂ ਦੀ ਪਰਵਰਿਸ਼ ਧਿਆਨ ਦੇ ਜ਼ਰੀਏ ਕਰਦਾ ਹੈ ਅਗਰ ਇੱਕ ਸੈਕਿੰਡ ਦੇ ਲਈ ਉਹ ਆਪਣਾ ਧਿਆਨ ਉਸ ਅੰਡਿਆਂ ਤੋਂ ਅਲੱਗ ਕਰ ਲਵੇ ਤਾਂ ਬੱਚੇ ਪਰਵਰਿਸ਼ ਨਹੀਂ ਕਰਦੇ ਉਹ ਗਲ ਜਾਂਦੇ ਹੈ.
Kabir Sahib gives the example of the turtle. You know that the turtle lays the eggs outside of the water in a safe, in a dry place which may be a little higher than the water level, and she herself goes into the water because her food is there in the water. Through her contemplation, which is constant, she hatches the eggs. Not even for a moment she forgets or takes away the dhyan or the contemplation of her eggs. Because if she were to do that, if she were to take her attention away even for a moment, the eggs would not remain there protected.
ਧਿਆਨ ਵਾਸਤੇ ਮਹਾਰਾਜ ਸਾਵਨ ਸਿੰਘ ਕਹਿੰਦੇ ਹੁੰਦੇ ਸੀ ਕਿ ਜਦ ਅਸੀਂ ਸਤਸੰਗ ਸੁਣਦੇ ਹਾਂ ਸਾਡੀ ਨਿਗਾਹ ਪਾਠੀ ਦੀ ਤਰਫ ਵੀ ਨਾ ਜਾਵੇ. ਬੇਸ਼ੱਕ ਗੁਰੂ ਦੇਵ ਸਾਡਾ ਕਿਸੇ ਨਾਲ ਬਾਤ ਵੀ ਕਰਦਾ ਹੈ ਤੋ ਅਸੀਂ ਜਿਹਦੇ ਨਾਲ ਬਾਤ ਕਰਦਾ ਉਧਰ ਵੀ ਸਾਡਾ ਖਿਆਲ ਨਾ ਜਾਵੇ ਕਿਉਂਕਿ ਅਸੀਂ ਤਾਂ ਉਹਦੇ ਧਿਆਨ ਵਿੱਚ ਮਸਤ ਹੈ. ਅਗਰ ਧਿਆਨ ਚ ਮਸਤ ਹੈ ਤੋ ਕੀ ਅਸੀਂ ਇਧਰ ਜਾਂ ਇਧਰ ਜਾਂ ਇਧਰ ਕਿਸੇ ਸਾਈਡ ਦੇ ਵਿੱਚ ਜਾਂ ਰਾਈਟ ਜਾਂ ਲੈਫਟ ਜਾਂ ਅਗਲੀ ਸਾਈਡ ਜਾਂ ਪਿਛਲੀ ਸਾਈਡ ਦੇਖ ਸਕਦੇ ਹਾਂ? ਸਾਡਾ ਧਿਆਨ ਟੁੱਟਦਾ ਹੈ.
ਰਿਗਾਰਡਿੰਗ ਦਾ ਧਿਆਨ ਔਰ ਦਾ ਕੰਟੈਂਪਲੇਸ਼ਨ ਆਫ ਦਾ ਮਾਸਟਰ, ਬਾਬਾ ਸਾਵਨ ਸਿੰਘ ਜੀ ਯੂਜ਼ ਟੂ ਸੇ ਦੈਟ ਵੈਨ ਵੀ ਆਰ ਸਿਟਿੰਗ ਇਨ ਦਾ ਸਤਸੰਗ ਲੁਕਿੰਗ ਐਟ ਦਾ ਮਾਸਟਰ ਵਿਦ ਆਲ ਓਵਰ ਅਟੈਂਸ਼ਨ, we should not even remain aware of the party or anyone who may be sitting there, and our attention should only be towards the master. If the master happens to talk with someone, we should not take our attention or our dhyan on that person to whom the master is talking, because we are intoxicated in the contemplation of the master, and we should only be looking at the master. We should only be contemplating on the form of the master. If our contemplation or the dhyan is like that, do you think that we will be looking here and there in the satsang? Sometimes we look here, sometimes we look there, sometimes we look at the right, sometimes we look at the left. Do you think that if our attention or contemplation is strong, would we look here and there or break away our contemplation?
Maharaj ta itho tak kehnde si ke satsang sunn sar sanu ik dusre naal baatan vi nahi karniyan chahidiyan. Jinniyan assi baatan karange unne hirda jo saada ਗੁਰੂ ਦਰਸ਼ਨਾਂ ਨਾਲ ਭਰਿਆ ਹੈ ਉਹ ਖਾਲੀ ਹੋਣਾ ਸ਼ੁਰੂ ਹੋ ਜਾਏਗਾ.
ਮਾਸਟਰ ਈਵਨ ਯੂਜ਼ ਟੂ ਸੇ ਦੈਟ ਆਫਟਰ ਦ ਸਤਸੰਗ ਵੀ ਸ਼ੁੱਡ ਨਾਟ ਸਟਾਰਟ ਟਾਕਿੰਗ ਵਿਦ ਦ ਪੀਪਲ ਬਿਕੋਜ਼ ਅਵਰ ਹਾਰਟ ਵਿਚ ਹੈਜ਼ ਬੀਨ ਫਿਲਡ ਅਪ ਵਿਦ ਦ ਗ੍ਰੇਸ ਆਫ ਦ ਮਾਸਟਰ ਵਿਦ ਦ ਦਰਸ਼ਨ ਆਫ ਦ ਮਾਸਟਰ ਡਿਊਰਿੰਗ ਦ ਸਤਸੰਗ ਇਫ ਵੀ ਵਿਲ ਸਟਾਰਟ ਟਾਕਿੰਗ ਰਾਈਟ ਆਫਟਰ ਸਤਸੰਗ ਵੀ ਵਿਲ ਲੂਜ਼ ਆਲ ਦੈਟ.
ਨਿਸ ਦਿਨ ਸੁਰਤ रहे अंडन पर पल भर ना बिसरावे जैसे चात्रक रटे स्वांति को सलता निकट नायावे दीन दयाल लगन हितकारी स्वांति जल पहुंचावे
हुण पपीहे दी मसाल दे के कबीर साहब समझाउंदे है कि जिस तरह पपीहा एक जानवर है ओ जद प्यास लगदी है ओ तड़फदा है पानी पानी करदा है पियो पियो करदा है लेकिन नदी ता उदे पास आउंदी नहीं लेकिन जो दयालु लगन दा ओ गुरु है साड़ी लगन देखदा है ओ की करदा है मेघ नूं हुक्म दिंदा है ਉਹਦੇ ਕੋਲੇ ਸਵਾਂਤੀ ਬੂੰਦ ਪਹੁੰਚਾ ਦਿੰਦਾ ਹੈ ਇਸੇ ਤਰ੍ਹਾਂ ਅਸੀਂ ਅਗਰ ਜੇ ਗੁਰੂ ਨਾਲ ਪਿਆਰ ਕਰਦੇ ਹਾਂ ਪਕਾਰਦੇ ਹਾਂ ਸੂਰਜ ਚੰਦਰਮਾ ਸਿਤਾਰੇ ਲੰਘ ਕੇ ਗੁਰੂ ਸਰੂਪ ਪ੍ਰਗਟ ਕਰ ਲੈਂਦੇ ਹਾਂ ਉੱਥੇ ਪਹੁੰਚ ਕੇ ਸਾਡਾ ਫਿਰ ਧਿਆਨ ਨਹੀਂ ਟੁੱਟਦਾ ਸਾਡਾ ਸਿਮਰਨ ਨਹੀਂ ਟੁੱਟਦਾ ਗਾ ਉਹ ਵੀ ਫਿਰ ਸਾਡੇ ਪਿਆਰ ਦਾ ਵੱਧਾ ਬੇਸ਼ੱਕ ਮਕਾਨ ਬੰਦ ਹੈ ਝੱਖੜ ਵਗਦਾ ਹੈ ਰਾਤ ਦਾ ਟਾਈਮ ਹੈ ਯਾਦ ਕਰਾਂਗੇ ਉਹ ਸਾਡੇ ਕੋਲੇ ਹੋਏਗਾ
ਨਾ ਕਬੀਰ ਸਾਹਿਬ ਐਕਸਪਲੇਨਸ ਟੂ ਅਸ ਗਿਵਿੰਗ ਦੀ ਐਗਜ਼ਾਮਪਲ ਆਫ ਦਾ ਰੇਨ ਬਰਡ ਹੀ ਸੇਜ਼ ਦੈਟ ਵੈਨ ਦਾ ਰੇਨ ਬਰਡ ਬਿਕਮਸ ਥਰਸਟੀ ਇਟ ਰਾਈਡਸ ਇਨ ਦਾ ਪੇਨ ਆਸਕਸ ਫਾਰ ਦਾ ਵਾਟਰ ਆਸਕਸ ਫਾਰ ਦੈਟ ਸਵਾਤੀ ਡ੍ਰੌਪ ਆਫ ਦਾ ਵਾਟਰ ਦਾ ਰਿਵਰ ਡਜ਼ਨਟ ਕਮ ਨੀਅਰ ਹਿਮ and he doesn't care for that water but he goes on repeating beloved beloved he goes on remembering that the beloved and looking at his devotion and looking at his yearning god almighty orders the clouds he orders the lord of rain to shower the rain and through that rain the swati drop is given to the rain bird so If we also develop our love and attention for the master like that rain bird, after rising above our body consciousness and after crossing the stars, moon and sun, if we reach the radiant form of the master, then not even for a moment we will forget our master. Our remembrance, our attention with the master will always remain there. And in that condition, whenever we will want, our master will appear there in front of us suppose if you are in a closed room and outside there is a very heavy storm when no one can come close to you even in those kind of conditions if you were to remember your master and if you have developed your love with the master as it has been described the master will appear there and he will quench your thirst there
दीन दयाल लगन हितकारी स्वांति जल पहुंचावे फूटे सुगंध कंज की जैसे मधु करके मन पावे वैगी सांझ बंद गए संपट ऐसी भगत कहावे
हुण कबीर साहब भवरे दी मसाल दिंदे है जद कमल दा फुल ਖਿਲਦਾ ਹੈ ਉਹ ਚੋਂ ਮਹਿਕ ਉੱਡਦੀ ਹੈ ਉਹ ਭੌਰੇ ਦੇ ਦਿਮਾਗ ਨੂੰ ਚੜ੍ਹਦੀ ਹੈ ਉਸ ਵਾਸ਼ਨਾ ਦਾ ਖਿੱਚਿਆ ਉਹ ਸਾਰਾ ਦਿਨ ਉਸਦੇ ਉੱਪਰ ਮਸਤ ਰਹਿੰਦਾ ਹੈ ਰਾਤ ਪੈ ਜਾਂਦੀ ਹੈ ਉਹ ਉਹਨੂੰ ਛੱਡ ਕੇ ਨਹੀਂ ਜਾਂਦਾ ਆਖਰ ਉਹ ਬੰਦ ਹੋ ਜਾਂਦਾ ਹੈ ਜਾਂ ਤਾਂ ਦਮ ਘੁੱਟ ਕੇ ਰਾਤ ਨੂੰ ਮਰ ਜਾਂਦਾ ਹੈ ਜਾਂ ਕੋਈ ਜਾਨਵਰ ਉਹਨੂੰ ਸਣੇ ਫੁੱਲ ਬੰਦ ਹੋਏ ਨੂੰ ਖਾ ਜਾਂਦਾ ਹੈ ਕਬੀਰ ਸਾਹਿਬ ਕਹਿੰਦੇ ਹੈ ਤੁਸੀਂ ਦੇਖ ਲਓ ਇਹੋ ਜਿਹੀ ਭਗਤ ਗੁਰੂ ਦੀ ਕਰੋ ਜਿਸ ਤਰ੍ਹਾਂ ਭਵਰਾ ਆਪਣਾ ਪਿਆਰ ਵਿੱਚ ਉਹ ਫੁੱਲ ਦੀ ਕਦਰ ਕਰਦਾ ਹੈ.
Now Kabir Sahib gives the example of the bee. He says that when the flower, when the lotus blooms, being attracted by the fragrance of that flower, the bee goes there. And all during the day, he just remains there. And even in the night, when the flower closes, he remains there. And he is also enclosed in the flower. Either he dies there because of the suffocation, or some animal eats that flower away with the bee inside that. So Kabir Sahib says that your love for the master also should be like that.
Awegi sanj band ge sampat aisi pagat kahave jaise chakor sasi tan nirkhe tan ki sud bisrave sas tan rehet ek tak lago tab sital ras paave.
ਹੁਣ ਕਬੀਰ ਸਾਹਿਬ ਕਹਿੰਦੇ ਆ ਕਿ ਤੁਸੀਂ ਚਕੋਰੀ ਕੰਨੀ ਦੇਖ ਲਓ, ਜਿੰਨਾ ਚਿਕਰ ਚੰਦਰਮਾ ਆਪਦਾ ਤਨ ਬਾਹਰ ਰੱਖਦਾ ਹੈ ਰਾਤ ਨੂੰ, ਉਹਦੇ ਧਿਆਨ ਚ ਇਤਨੀ ਮਗਨ ਹੋ ਜਾਂਦੀ ਹੈ ਕਿ ਉਹਨੂੰ ਆਪਣੀ ਆਪ ਦੀ ਸੁਰਤ ਨਹੀਂ ਔਰ ਨਾ ਉਹਨੂੰ ਉਹਦਾ ਦਿਲ ਅੱਕੇ ਨਾ ਉਹਦਾ ਤਨ ਥੱਕੇ.
Now Kabir Sahib says that you look at the moon bird, as long as the moon is out, the moon bird is contemplating on the moon, so much so that neither her body gets tired nor does she get bored, she always goes on looking at the moon.
To Kabir Sahib kande hai aisi bhagat kamao ke jinna jikar guru da tan sade samne hai sade andar vi kahar na pave. ਜਦ ਉਹ ਤਨ ਪਾਸੇ ਹੋਵੇ ਤੇ ਅੰਦਰ ਅੰਦਰ ਆਤਮਾ ਸਾਡੀ ਐ ਖਾਲੀ ਪਰ ਮਨਸੂਰ ਕਰੇ ਕਿ ਪਤਾ ਨਹੀਂ ਮੇਰੇ ਕੋਲ ਕੀ ਚੱਲਿਆ ਗਿਆ.
ਸੋ ਕਬੀਰ ਸਾਹਿਬ ਸੇਜ਼ ਦੈਟ ਯੂ ਅਰਨ ਦੀਸ ਕਾਇੰਡ ਆਫ ਡਿਵੋਸ਼ਨ ਐਸ ਲੌਂਗ ਐਸ ਦ ਬਾਡੀ ਆਫ ਦ ਮਾਸਟਰ ਇਜ਼ ਇਨ ਫਰੰਟ ਆਫ ਯੂ, ਯੂ ਕੰਟੈਂਪਲੇਟ ਔਨ ਹਿਮ ਐਂਡ ਵੈਨ ਹੀ ਗੋਜ਼ ਅਵੇ ਫਰੋਮ ਯੂ ਇਨ ਦ ਸੋਲ ਯੂ ਸ਼ੁੱਡ ਫੀਲ ਐਸ ਇਫ ਸਮਥਿੰਗ ਵੈਰੀ ਪ੍ਰੇਸ਼ੀਅਸ ਹੈਜ਼ ਗੋਨ ਅਵੇ ਫਰੋਮ ਯੂ.
ਕਬੀਰ ਸਾਹਿਬ ਕਹਿੰਦੇ ਆਵਤ ਸਾਧ ਨਾ ਹਰਖਿਆ ਜਾਤ ਨਾ ਦੀਆ ਰੋਏ ਕਹੇ ਕਬੀਰ ਤੈਂ ਦਾਸ ਕਾ ਕਾਮ ਕਹਾਂ ਸੇ ਹੋਏ.
ਕਬੀਰ ਸਾਹਿਬ ਸੇ ਦੈਟ ਇਫ ਵਨ ਡਸ ਨਾਟ ਬਿਕਮ ਹੈਪੀ ਵੈਨ ਹੀ ਸੀਜ਼ ਦ ਮਾਸਟਰ ਕਮਿੰਗ ਐਂਡ ਇਫ ਹੀ ਡਸ ਨਾਟ ਬਿਕਮ ਅਨਹੈਪੀ ਵੈਨ ਦ ਮਾਸਟਰ ਲੀਵਸ, ਕਬੀਰ ਸੇਜ਼ ਦੈਟ ਹਾਊ ਕੈਨ ਸੱਚ ਅ ਡਿਸਾਈਪਲ ਅਚੀਵ ਐਨੀਥਿੰਗ ਇਨ ਦਿਸ ਪਾਥ.
ਸਸ ਤਨ ਰਹਿਤ ਇਕ ਟਕ ਲਾਗੋ ਤਬ ਸੀਤਲ ਰਸ ਪਾਵੇ ਐਸੀ ਜੁਗਤ ਕਰੇ ਜੋ ਕੋਈ ਤਬ ਸੋ ਭਗਤ ਕਹਾਵੇ ਕਹਿ ਕਬੀਰ ਸਤ ਗੁਰੂ ਕੀ ਮੂਰਤ ਤੇ ਪ੍ਰਭ ਦਰਸ਼ ਦਿਖਾਵੇ.
ਕਬੀਰ ਸਾਹਿਬ ਕਹਿਣ ਲੱਗੇ ਕਿ ਜੋ ਕੁਛ ਮੈਂ ਤੁਹਾਨੂੰ ਉੱਪਰ ਇਹ ਮਿਸਾਲਾਂ ਦਿੱਤੀਆਂ ਹਨ, ਅਗਰ ਕੋਈ ਸੇਵਕ ਇਸ ਤਰ੍ਹਾਂ ਦੀ ਭਗਤ ਕਮਾਵੇ ਉਹ ਪ੍ਰਭੂ ਦਿਆਲ ਹੋ ਕੇ ਸਤਿਗੁਰੂ ਦੀ ਮੂਰਤ ਦੇ ਵਿੱਚੋਂ ਹੀ ਉਹ ਆਪਦਾ ਪਿਆਰ, ਆਪਦਾ ਪ੍ਰਕਾਸ਼, ਆਪਦਾ ਨੂਰ, ਆਪਦਾ ਦਰਸ਼ਨ ਉਹ ਪਰਮਾਤਮਾ ਦੇਵੇਗਾ.
ਕਬੀਰ ਸਾਹਿਬ ਸੇਜ਼ ਦੈਟ ਆਲ ਵਟ ਆਈ ਹੈਵ ਸੈਡ ਹੇਅਰ, ਆਲ ਦ ਡਿਫਰੈਂਟ ਐਗਜ਼ਾਮਪਲਸ ਵਿਚ ਆਈ ਹੈਵ ਗਿਵਨ ਟੂ ਯੂ ਐਂਡ ਦ ਵੇ ਆਫ ਡੂਇੰਗ ਦ ਡਿਵੋਸ਼ਨ ਵਿਚ ਆਈ ਹੈਵ ਟੋਲਡ ਯੂ, ਇਫ ਐਨੀਵਨ ਵੇਅਰ ਟੂ ਅਰਨ ਦ ਡਿਵੋਸ਼ਨ ਔਰ ਡੂ ਦ ਡਿਵੋਸ਼ਨ ਲਾਈਕ ਦੈਟ, then from within the form of the Master, then within the form of the Sadguru, God Almighty will bless him with His love and with His grace.
Sant Mahatma koi suniya sunaiya gallan di bani nahi likhde ge, ohna di bani de andar sada suchai tapakdi hundi hai aur ਉਹਨਾਂ ਨੇ ਖੁਦ ਜ਼ਿੰਦਗੀ ਚ ਇਹ ਕਮਾਈ ਕੀਤੀ ਹੁੰਦੀ ਹੈ ਜੋ ਉਹਨਾਂ ਦੇ ਤਜਰਬੇ ਵਿਚ ਸਹੀ ਉਤਰਦਾ ਹੈ ਉਹੀ ਉਹ ਸਾਡੀ ਹਦਾਇਤ ਵਾਸਤੇ ਲਿਖ ਜਾਂਦੇ ਹੈ ਸਾਡਾ ਵੀ ਫਰਜ਼ ਬਣਦਾ ਹੈ ਜਿਸ ਤਰ੍ਹਾਂ ਉਹਨਾਂ ਮਹਾਤਮਾ ਨੇ ਇੱਕ ਮਿਸਾਲ ਬਣ ਕੇ ਸਾਨੂੰ ਨਮੂਨਾ ਬਣ ਕੇ ਦਿਖਾਇਆ ਹੈ ਅਸੀਂ ਵੀ ਤਨੋ ਮਨੋ ਉਹਨਾਂ ਦੇ ਪਾਏ ਪੂਰਨਿਆਂ ਤੇ ਚੱਲੀਏ ਸ਼ਬਦ ਨਾਮ ਦੀ ਕਮਾਈ ਕਰੀਏ ਗੁਰੂ ਦੇ ਨਾਲ ਵਿਖਾਵੇ ਦਾ ਪਿਆਰ ਨਾ ਕਰੀਏ ਸੱਚੇ ਦਿਲੋਂ ਅੰਦਰੋਂ ਆਤਮਾ ਦੇ ਨਾਲ ਪਿਆਰ ਕਰੀਏ
ਸੇਂਟਸ ਐਂਡ ਮਹਾਤਮਾਸ ਡੂ ਨਾਟ ਰਾਈਟ ਦੇਅਰ ਬਾਣੀਜ਼ ਫਰੋਮ ਦਾ ਹੀਅਰਸੇ ਵਟ ਐਵਰ ਦੇ ਰਾਈਟ ਇਟ ਇਜ਼ ਆਲ ਟਰੂ ਬਿਕੋਜ਼ ਦਾ ਟਰੁੱਥ ਇਜ਼ ਪ੍ਰੈਜ਼ੈਂਟ ਵਿਦ ਇਨ ਆਲ ਵਟ ਦੇ ਸੇ ਦੇ ਵਟ ਐਵਰ ਦੇ ਹੈਵ ਐਕਸਪੀਰੀਅੰਸਡ ਇਨ ਦੇਅਰ ਲਾਈਫਸ ਵਟ ਐਵਰ ਦੇ ਹੈਵ ਗੋਨ ਥਰੂ ਇਨ ਦੇਅਰ ਲਾਈਫ ਦੇ ਹੈਵ ਰਿਟਨ ਆਲ ਦੋਜ਼ ਥਿੰਗਸ ਡਾਊਨ ਫਾਰ ਅਵਰ ਬੈਨੀਫਿਟ ਸੋ like what Kabir Sahib has told us, what he had experienced and what he has told us, the way we should do the devotion and love, we should also develop the true love for the Master. We should not just love the Master for the namesake or the superficial love. We should love him dearly, sincerely, and we should also do the meditation of the Shabad Naam to make our lives successful. Close your eyes and start meditating.
The closing bhajan is on page 258. Sabapara Diya Gharo Guru Pao. Shower grace on everyone. Shower grace, shower grace. O Guru Pao, remove everyone's pain. Remove pain, Guru Pao. We are your children. You are our Father. Who except you can reshape our distortions? Remove the darkness, O Master. Manifest the light. We are wandering. Show us the way. Who will take care of us if you will forget us? May we live becoming men and create heaven on earth. May the black cloud of sins disappear and the stream of Nam's nectar flow. May the honor of the Sangat increase. May everyone be blessed. Whoever has your form in his mind and whoever has your Nam in his mouth, all his works are accomplished in the wink of an eye. May you shower grace on me, and may I accomplish my work. O Kripal Guru, give me only this boon. Make my body, mind, and wealth pure. May I be liberated from all the dualities, and may I see your beauty in everyone. Ajab sings your praises with a sincere mind. Shower grace on everyone. Shower grace, shower grace. O Guru Pao, remove everyone's pain. Remove pain, Guru Pao. Bhajan of Sanchi on page 258.
Sabapardeya karo. Deya karo, deya karo, Guru Pal, sabke kashte haro, kashte haro, kashte haro, Guru Pal, sabe par deya karo, deya karo, Guru Pal. Sabke kashte haro, kashte haro, kashte haro, Guru Pal. sabe pare dea karo hum balak tum pita hamare tum bina bigadi kon savare hum balak tum pita hamare tum bina bigadi kon savare Amasaro guru jyoti jagao mat karahe raha dikao mat karahe raha dikao bula diye agar tum nahi hamko kon karega dhyan sab par deya karo Deya karo, deya karo, Guru pale sabke kashte haro, kashte haro, kashte haro, Guru pal sabe pare deya karo, Manava bane karaham jipaye, Isadarati paresvare gasajai Manava bane karaham jipaye Isadarati paresvare gasajai Kate papa ki kalikara Bahe namaki amrita dara Bahe namaki amarita dara Sabasangate kamane badenita Sabako kaliyane sabe pare deya karo Guru pale sabake kashte haro Kashte haro, kashte haro, Guru pa, sabe pare deya karo. Jiske man me murat teri, jiske muha pare tera nam, jiske man me murat teri, Jiske muha par tera naam palak japakate ban jate uske bigde sare kaam uske bigde sare kaam deya mahir ho jaye teri Mera banje kaam sab pare deya karo, deya karo, guru pale sabke kashte haro, kashte haro, guru pal sab pare deya karo. Kirepale guru basa itana varedo tan man dan sab nirmal karedo Kirepale guru basa itana varedo tan man dan sab nirmal karedo Hare dubida se ho chutkara Sab me dike rupa tumara, sab me dike rupa tumara, sache man se kare tumara, ajaibe gune gane sab pare deya karo, Deya karo guru pale sabke kashte haro, kashte haro guru pale sabe pare deya karo.
Shower grace on everyone, shower grace, Oh, Gurupal, remove everyone's pain. Remove pain, Gurupal. Shower grace on everyone. May God bless us all.